Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Glad you're back with us. The news conference just wrapped up there in the White House. The morning press briefing with Secretary Scott Bessent. It was in there answering questions on the economy and what he saw coming. And, of course, they're talking about tax relief and that big bill. If you just missed our conversation last hour with Congressman Jason Smith, of course, he chairs the House Ways and Means Committee. And he said they've been working on this stuff for a long time, and they're hoping to get this bill done by July 4th, the big, beautiful bill with tax cuts and elimination of taxes on tips. And it should be a pretty powerful booster, I would think, for the stock market, among other things, if and when that happens. And by then, Scott Bessent said they have 17 negotiations going on right now, 17 different countries to reach trade deals. I don't know which 17 those are.
He didn't mention any of them, did he?
I don't know. I didn't get to hear all of it. I was watching it and reading some of the closed captioning. I didn't hear him say specifically which countries, but I mean, 17 of them have to include some pretty major trading partners, I would think, that could get done. And I think when that happens again, you get the market. You see the market go back up pretty quickly because it runs on emotion, which is ridiculous, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I've been seeing people trying to blame what happened in Canada where they just elected the liberal candidate. They're blaming Trump on that. Oh, it's the trade war, and that's why they flipped, because supposedly the conservative candidate at some point was in the lead, and then it kind of flip-flopped recently, and they're saying this is the candidate we need to take on Trump, and he's already come out. He used to be the head of banks and stuff in Canada, and he's already come out saying, you know, we need to tackle this, and I can't believe he's doing this to us. Again, like my brain just cannot process how people think this is so unfair, considering they have tariffs on us.
He's a screaming, this new guy's just as much of a screaming lefty as Trudeau was. He ran, of course, anti-U.S., and people have bought into the lie up there that somehow the United States is mistreating them. It's the most ridiculous argument you've ever heard. So let them whine. They need us a lot more than we need them. I'm not too worried about it. They'll come around. Particularly if they ever need to be defended, for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to C.B. Cotton from Fox News. Get this. In Maine, the Democratic Party has censured a Republican over her social media posts having an issue with a transgender athlete participating in women's sports. Because of her post, she's been censured by the state legislature. She now wants the Supreme Court to step in and smack them down. We're going to check in with C.B. Cotton. She is covering that story this morning. We're going to get to her about 8:20. And then, of course, Ryan Wiggins will be up here in a few minutes with more on Wiggins America and Act Blue, where who knows how much of the money scrubbed through USAID made its way back to Act Blue and to Democrat candidates across the United States of America. It's a question worth asking. We'll get to Ryan at the bottom of the hour on that. Right now, Ethan, I want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I am Brad Smith. I'm the third person in the world to receive the Neuralink brain implant. I'm also the first person with ALS and the first nonverbal, which means that I rely on it for all communication.
Wow. This guy put out a pretty powerful video yesterday. He is completely immobile. He can't move his voice box. That is generated by AI, all because of something implanted in his brain by Elon Musk. And he is the most thankful man in America today for Elon Musk.
What percentage do you think we should let stay here of those 10 million?
I'm not trying to do a game show.
No, but I'm saying, no, but...
If you think that's the best use of...
Well, hold on, but the... Is it your view that if a Democrat president releases 10, 15, 20 million illegals into the country, they all then should get to stay forever and for all of life?
Stephen Miller turns the table on all of these mainstream media reporters. I love watching him in action.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now.
But he has called for a couple of mass buffets. That is J.B. Pritzker over the state of Illinois calling for mass action against Donald Trump. Isn't that just great? Thank you, J.B., as you continue to go to New Hampshire and make it very clearly that you're posturing to raise your profile for president.
Joe Biden was the first president in the history of this nation who came in office and unsecured a border on purpose.
Yeah, Tom Holman has been all over the place the last few days in the White House press briefing room yesterday, on with Fox and Friends this morning in front of a live audience earlier, and he goes on any media that invites him, and he just chews up and spits out the Biden administration. I think that's pretty great. We had a caller on the line I was going to get to who wanted to talk about the first 100 days.
But
he hung up. I don't know why he hung up. I was going to get to him right then. Holman, of course, is I mentioned he was on this morning talking about this. I think that the point he makes here is one worth discussing. Because he's absolutely right about this. Go to cut number four, please.
Look, I started in the Border Patrol in 1984. I've been at this for over 40 years. I worked for six presidents, starting with Ronald Reagan. Every president I ever worked for took border security seriously, because you can't have national security if you don't have strong border security. We got to know who's coming in, what's coming in, where's coming in, why it's coming in, right? Even President Obama and President Clinton took some steps to secure the border because they understood national security was important. Joe Biden was the first president in the history of this nation who came in office and unsecured a border on purpose.
Yeah, what would that purpose have been? That's what you have to ask. Mm-hmm.
I heard an analogy the other day that I thought really was fitting for this, and it's this idea of we lock our doors at night, right? Or even during the day, right? We just want to, it's not that we hate everybody on the outside, all of our neighbors. It's because we love the people on the inside of our home so much that we want to protect them. We want to make sure that we are aware of who's coming in and out of our home. That's a very intimate space, and it can put you in a very dangerous situation if you're not keeping very close tabs on who's coming in and why and all of these things when they leave. So that's really what this is about. It's not that we hate everybody on the outside and we don't want them to come in. It's just that we need to do it the right way. The door's locked here in the United States. That's why we have a border wall. We are happy to unlock the door, but you're going to do it the right way. You're not going to bust through the back door or climb through the window or do anything else. This is our house.
You're going to knock.
You're going to knock. And if I don't want to answer because you're a salesperson like the guy who knocked on a door last night at 6 p.m., we did answer that. But I don't want to answer, and I don't have to answer because it's my house.
What was he selling?
I like a mosquito.
Oh, really?
I mean, I get it. You know, you're busy, and that's when you know people are home. But I'm like, come on. Where are you? Just need pasta.
You want the no soliciting sign in your
get off
in your
my
neighborhood.
Lawn,
get
kids.
Off my lawn. That's right. All right. Let's get to a quick break here. We are going to get to CB Cotton, the reporter for Fox News. She's covering this Maine state Republican who's been censured over her comments about a transgender athlete. We're going to get to that straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Put upon me, I won't apologize for speaking the truth, but I think it is incumbent upon me to do everything that I can to get their voice and vote back. And so we have sued in federal court, and we are looking to resolve this through the courts.
Yeah, that is Laurel Libby. She is a Republican state state house member up in Maine trying to go to the Supreme Court. We've got CB Cotton from Fox News on with us this morning. CB, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Mark, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, this is a case that everybody's sort of watching, right?
Yeah, no kidding. So what is it that she posted that was so offensive to the state legislature up there?
So back in February, Maine GOP state rep Laurel Libby made a post, I believe it was on Facebook and X, and she shared a photo of a transgender pole vaulter who went on to win the girls' Maine state championship in February. And she made this post showing photos of the transgender athlete competing last year as a boy and then competing this year in the girls' division. And she spoke out about this on social media, saying that she didn't agree with it, and she thought it was unfair and infringing on the rights of girls throughout her state. The post quickly gained a lot of traction, not only in Maine but across the country. And we know that it's a Democratic-controlled state house in Maine, and her colleagues, her Democratic colleagues, quickly came down on her very, very hard.
So she's filed a lawsuit against the speaker, and she's now asking the Supreme Court to get involved. I mean, what are the odds, do you think, of that actually happening as it relates to the Supreme Court?
So she brings up a couple of interesting arguments in her emergency appeal to the Supreme Court. So shortly after she made these social media posts, she was censured by her colleagues. Then she quickly filed a lawsuit saying that, you know, her First Amendment rights have been infringed upon and that her constituents have been disenfranchised because the censure strips her of her speaking and her voting rights on the House floor. So since like late February, early March, she's not been able to vote and she's not been able to speak on the House floor. And so you can really understand where she's coming from and why it's important for her to try to get those rights back. She brings up a couple interesting arguments in her appeal to the Supreme Court. She points out that House Speaker Ryan Fecteau has also posted photos of minors on social media, talking about various things within different events and things happening like that in Maine. And we spoke with her in an interview yesterday, and she said this. She said, quote, "The fact is legislatures post pictures of minors all the time on social media. That's politics for you. It wasn't until the photos that I posted received negative backlash, because Mainers and folks across the country don't believe that biological males should be participating in girls' sports," end quote. So that's an interesting point she brings up, is that the same conduct that the House Speaker found worthy of censure on her, he has done it too, yeah, albeit for different topics, but he has also posted photos of minors on social media. So she feels confident and hopeful that the Supreme Court will step in and offer some sort of relief on her behalf.
Boy, I hope so. You know, we've had state legislators censured here in Missouri, but the last time I can remember, she was censured for threatening or encouraging somebody to murder President Trump. That's a threat. I mean, as opposed to this, which wasn't a threat at all. It was just pointing out the obvious, right?
She was pointing out her political views,
right,
online.
Right.
And that is what, you know, caused her to lose her speaking and her voting rights. And, I've spoken with Representative Libby a lot about this, and she tells me all the time that it's interesting for her that this is the hill that Democrats appear to want to die on, about biological boys playing in girls and women's sports. And she feels very strongly that she has to advocate for the girls in her state, because what we've seen through other reports and through other, you know, current events is that Maine Governor Janet Mills, she is taking the opposite stance of Representative Libby, and she, you know, has spoken pretty strongly in favor of the Maine Human Rights Act, which allows people to compete based on their gender identity. And Representative Libby says that is not fair to the girls in her state.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the Maine governor is the one that clashed with President Trump, correct?
Yes,
yeah,
Maine Governor Janet Mills and Trump, they sparred at the White House. And, you know, President Trump was clear. He said, your state is violating Title IX if it continues functioning the way it is. Maine Governor Janet Mills said, we'll see you in court. And, Attorney General Pam Bondi, Trump said, I look forward to that. And the Trump administration made good on its word. And Attorney General Pam Bondi has now, pursuing litigation against Maine for what it continues to do.
C.B. Cotton, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you both for having me. I really appreciate it on this topic.
You bet. Great having you on again. Wow. Just wow. You got people trying to move here from England because they've been thrown in jail for what they've tweeted. We have free speech in this country. You got to be kidding me. How can they censure this state representative? All right, coming up, Ryan Wiggins on Act Blue. Stay tuned.
Do you yourself have an opinion on the subject?
I'm more interested in yours.
Well, what percentage of the, let's just pick an even number of, say, 10 million illegal aliens. Let's say that Biden released, I think it's closer to 20 million. Let's say he released 10 million illegal aliens into the country over the last 4 years. What percentage do you think we should let stay here of those 10 million?
I'm not trying to do a game show.
No, but I'm saying, no, but...
if you think that's the best use of...
Well, hold on, but the... Is it your view that if a Democrat president releases 10, 15, 20 million illegals into the country, that they all then should get to stay forever and for all of life?
Stephen, I don't have a view about what Democratic presidents do. I'm asking what the Republican president
does. Yeah, so, okay, so you don't want to answer the question because you know the answer is obvious. Everyone that Biden let in has to go home.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
We got Ryan in studio now, and I love Stephen Miller because he just doesn't play with these mainstream biased reporters whose goal is to try to ask an embarrassing question. Is it now the policy of the administration to deport American citizen children to Venezuela? No, you idiot. Do you not think we should deport anyone? I mean, it's bordering on ludicrous the way they're treating this.
It's the whole game plan was to import as many illegal immigrants as you can and then make it possible to get rid of them.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. The media is doing exactly what they are supposed to be doing. That's their job, is to make it hard.
Running interference for the Democrats, basically, is what it seems like. I thought Rubio handled it really well yesterday, and Holman, for that matter, just chews them up and spits them back out when it comes to all of that. Did you hear his comment yesterday about the person that tried to steal Kristi Noem's purse?
No, I haven't heard this.
Listen to this. Go to cut five, please.
I don't have the criminal history, but I know the one who stole the purse is supposedly in the country legally. But, you know, pick the wrong person to steal first from. I mean, Secretary Noem's a strong secretary. I know I've been talking about the success of men and women of the Border Patrol and ICE, but under her strong leadership, she's a game changer. So I'm happy to work with her, despite the media I've read that me and Kristi Noem have differences. Me and Kristi Noem are attached at the hip. There's no daylight between us. We're both going to push the president's agenda.
Yeah, I love that. On the way in yesterday, Kim and I were listening to the show that precedes us in the morning, and they had an interview on there with somebody who was reporting on the fact that sources within ICE tell this reporter that ICE agents are unhappy with Kristi Noem doing all of these press availabilities and showing up to go on raids, and they think it's all photo op and all that. And Holman makes it pretty clear that there's no space between them.
I had not heard him say that. Because he speaks kind of slurry a little bit. Did he say that the person who stole the purse was here illegally?
Yeah, that's an illegal alien. Yeah, two of them now.
It's an illegal alien that stole the purse of the head of the DHS?
Keep up with your illegal aliens, Ryan.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah, really.
Like, of all the people to rob, you pick Kristi Noem. Not that they know, but, I mean, what are the chances?
In D.C., in the White House, I was talking to Annie about this earlier. They have signs lining the walkway at the White House where you go through security and you have to walk up this driveway to get to the press briefing room. It goes down and to the right. And these signs line the grass between the driveway and the portico to the White House, which you can see back to the left. All the network news reporters are set up across the driveway from it. So all those signs are in the background of their live shots in the morning. And the mainstream media has taken to blurring out the faces, even though All it is a wanted poster for people they've already arrested, mm-hmm. and the crime they were charged with, which was murder,
rape.
Kidnapping, rape. I mean, mm-hmm. it's amazing.
They're not like a jaywalking.
Oh, no.
Murder,
rape. These
are the baddest of the bad.
These are bad crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, MSNBC went so far as to say, we're being very careful here.
Oh, gosh.
Because we don't know if they're actually criminals or illegal immigrants.
Why do these legacy media outlets not understand that this is why their ratings are tanking? I just saw some information about CNN and how pathetic their ratings are. I mean, it's awful when you compare it to like Fox News, for example.
Sure. Oh, they've just cashed
it. Do you not get it?
Everybody knows. And this should be the time when the resistance media is thriving.
I know.
And they just aren't. Everybody knows it's just bull.
That's true. We have unveiled some interesting things, though, about Act Blue. What'd you find out about them?
So, yeah, we've talked about this before. I think it was maybe right before the election or right after that we were talking about Act Blue. If you are in your bubble and you are, you have to be in the know a little bit to even know that this is a story.
Right.
But if you are in the Democrat bubble, you would read stories from people like Axios, and I printed out the story because I thought, well, Axios sometimes goes down the middle, and they'll give you both sides. So I like to look at them to see how they're reporting on it. Trump wants Act Blue, and Democrats' donation platform investigated by the DOJ. Fair headline. The article does not tell you why at all.
It doesn't mention at all why he wants them investigated?
It quotes a whole bunch of people who are saying, well, this is all political. they're just going after him because this is... Act Blue said in a statement, Trump's action needs to be seen for what it is. Donald Trump's latest front in his campaign to stamp out all political, electoral, and ideological opposition, which has really nothing to do with this because this was going on way before he was president, and has been going on for a while. But if you want to know the facts about what Act Blue was doing, you have to go to somebody like the New York Post and other articles that have been published for months now. The memo authorized by Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate whether Act Blue was allowing dummy accounts or foreign nationals to donate to Democrat causes. And it's not just that. It's lots of other things, too. They say despite repeated instances of fraudulent donations to Democrat campaigns and causes from domestic and foreign sources, Act Blue is not demonstrating a serious effort to deter fraud from its platform. And you remember when I was in here last, there are multiple people in multiple states who have noticed that their name is coming up as having donated to Act Blue. Well, if you are, and some of them are Republican activists, they're like, I was not donating to Act Blue. And there are active cases going on in litigation in those states that the House was looking at to say, there's a lot of evidence of fraud all over the place. And a lot of it is this money that was coming from international sources. They did not keep the 3-digit CVV code from most of their credit card transactions. For a long, long time, right up until the investigation started, we'll start now. And so you really can't track where most of this money was coming from, or at least large portions of it. and the amazing thing is the Democrats are circling the wagon. Tom Bonnier is one of the top pollsters for Target Smart, which NBC uses. He says, I challenge any Trump supporter to explain how this isn't Trump weaponizing the DOJ to go after his political opponents. But the fact is, this could really unravel a lot, because we all wonder where's this money coming from?
Follow the money.
And it's not just, oh, it's coming from international sources, which is illegal, first of all.
Correct.
But it's where do the international sources, where are they getting it?
Well, so you say fraud from individual people who are Republicans. How are they getting that money from a Republican?
Well, they don't know, because a lot of the Republicans are saying, I never donated, but it was donated in their name. So these are fraudulent donations already, because they didn't actually pay anything.
But Ryan, I mean, in their defense, hypothetically here, if the money originated in the United States, let's say as a taxpayer payment to USAID, which then transferred it to an NGO out of the country, which transferred it back to an NGO in the country who donated it to Act Blue, is it really foreign money? I think they'll be able to make that argument.
I think you're connecting the dots here of why they're going after this, because they got to find, you know, Democrats have been amazing, and really the deep state, because it's some Republicans too, have been amazing at exploiting loopholes in our system.
Oh, sure.
Go ask Hunter Biden and Joe. They might know something about this.
They have to find how this was done illegally, and a lot of it's going to be line items and stuff, but this is one way that they're looking to see, where is this money? Where is it coming from? Where is it going? How did it end up here?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, we're going to get to a break here. Ethan has given me a wrap, so let me get to that. Can you hang out, Ryan?
Yeah.
All right, Ryan Wiggins from Wiggins America in studio with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
On the road again.
It doesn't feel good about the tariff.
Right. I could understand why they're afraid that everything else is going to, inflation we're going to have, and we don't want to have it worse than what we have, a recession. But I believe we got to go through pain before something good comes from.
Are you going?
Yeah, that was a lady this morning on the Fox and Friends. They were, of course, talking about the president's first 100 days, which I'll remind people again, in 3 months and just a few days, the president has gotten a tremendous amount of things done. Whether you agree with him or not, he's gotten a lot done. We did ask people to call in earlier, and for some reason, Al is an hour and a half late. But, Al, I'm going to put you on the air, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, Mark, long time, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's you got a grade for the president this morning?
I'm gonna wait. You guys are the canaries in the coal mine. I'm going to wait and see what happens to you.
What do you think is going to happen to us?
We'll see. I mean, all this winning that's happening, the market's winning, and like you said, it's going to rebound. It'll be great. We'll just be winning again. You know, Mark, wait a minute. I may have to go. I think Pete's calling me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got to go, Mark. Pete's calling me.
All right. All right. Yeah, I don't know who Pete is. Pete Hegseth is on the other line.
Hey, Pete.
And, maybe it's Pete Buttigieg. There are lots of Pete's out there.
Pizza?
Lots of Pete's out there.
You got to go. Pete's calling me. All right,
I love Pete. How nonchalant that was. Like, oh, yeah, you guys know Pete.
Oh, I can hear the sarcasm in Al's voice. He's just going to wait because all this winning that we're doing.
Oh, my gosh.
I would stick around for the second.
Live radio.
You know, Pete's calling. So I got to go, too.
You got to go, wait.
Yeah, he's calling me. He's calling Ethan. You and Kim can handle this, right?
Oh, that's funny.
Man.
So you're filling in for Annie again today?
Yeah, again today. Okay, she'll be back tomorrow. She's actually flying in right before the show tomorrow, so I'm going to be ready to host just in case. But
so at least she gets to spend the whole day. Now, the president's leaving town today to go to Michigan for a rally for his 100 days, and the auto workers up there love him, so that's got to irritate the hell out of Gretchen Whitmer that he's coming to Michigan today, I would think. But Annie's going to get to go over and visit our congressional delegation. Mm-hmm. Maybe Bost. We're going to have him on tomorrow. I don't know who all she's going to visit with
Jason
today.
Jason Smith on today.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, well, I'll probably catch up. I know that you talked to her this morning, but I'll probably catch up with her right at noon. We did the whole noon hour with her yesterday, so it's kind of weird because we're here in studio, and she's a part of the show, but it's her show.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, bringing us into segments and then being like, Annie, what's going on? And then, she just kind of talks
about
what's
going on.
Well,
talk to Annie and then say, I got to go. Pete's calling.
I will.
you've got this, right? You can handle the rest
There's
of the show.
There's going to be a
DC.
Very narrow amount of people who are tuning in right now, who tune in right at noon.
They'll
be
hilarious.
Like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great callback joke.
Let Annie be confused.
I'm glad she got that opportunity. It's pretty cool. Hopefully she gets to go over and hang out with some of the members of Congress today. She should go to the Capitol Grill while she's up there, and she should do the show live from there.
Wait, explain that. Is that a famous...
It's just one of the better restaurants in D.C. I mean, you can't walk to it at night because it's not safe.
Oh, gosh.
But you can take an Uber there and eat. And
I thought we had a Capitol Grill here.
Well, we do have one here.
So it's a chain or it's a totally different restaurant?
I don't know the answer to that. I can't imagine they're not connected, but the one there is pretty famous for all the deals being done. The Dubliner is the great Irish bar there, the Irish pub, if you ever go. That's where supposedly Tip O'Neill used to hold court all the time, and make big deals when he was Speaker of the House.
It's funny, I did ask her that yesterday. Do you have any good local food to D.C.? And she's like, there is no local food to D.C. There's
no,
none.
I'm sure
they
there
don't
isn't.
Have anything.
I'm sure there isn't. Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America.
Yep, Saturday morning, 7 to 8, and then Sunday night, 7 to 8, and then today, noon to 3.
That's right. 3 hours of it coming up today. And in lieu of the Annie Fry, who would normally be here, but she's in D.C. All right, have a great day. We'll see you back here Wednesday morning at 5 a.m.